Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Feels like we've been talking about it forever, but the trade has happened. The Edmonton Oilers have acquired a goaltender in a swap with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Stuart Skinner out, Tristan Jarry is in. Your reaction, John?
I'm fair to middling on this one. I thought Stuart Skinner was better than, you know, the fan base thought he was. I think that Tristan Jarry, who has had a very good season in Pittsburgh, was obviously the odd man out with what Kyle Dubas has done with the young Russian goaltender and with Artur Shelovs, and obviously now they have Skinner as a third goalie as well. But I'm almost saying, well, you know, that you got your troubled goalie for my troubled goalie.
In a way, yeah, because Jarry has battled consistency. He was in the American Hockey League last year.
Yeah. But he has been very good this year.
Yes.
Let's be honest. And so perhaps that's something that the Oilers can hang their hat on. It will be fascinating to see whether he plays on Saturday night in Toronto and turn around so quickly because the Oilers are traveling east on a huge road trip to the Eastern Conference. You know, Stuart Skinner was... Stuart, something had to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, the scar tissue was too extensive.
Yes. Yeah. But this guy got you to the Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row. He did. He got them to the Stanley Cup final.
Helped, yes.
Yeah. Well, he was the goalie of record. You know, he out-dueled Jake Oettinger more than once, and we all talk about what a great goaltender Oettinger is.
He lost his net in both runs.
Yep, but got it back too. You know, I mean, that's it's an I was a Skinner supporter, and I just know that Tristan, who played in Edmonton in junior hockey, understands the market, I think, pretty well. You have to hope that he's focused and ready to go, and he's going to have big shoulders, and he's going to have big shoulders in order to finish this season in Edmonton.
Are you convinced this is the answer, or is this a time will determine it? And I'm not trying to portray Tristan in the same class as Patrick Waugh, but the Avalanche needed something to get them over the top way back in their first Stanley Cup run. And they picked up the goaltender who was available in the future Hall of Famer in Waugh. Is Jarry a perfect fit for Edmonton?
Perfect fit? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. I don't think there was a perfect fit. I think when you're trading goaltenders in the season, you know, the goaltenders probably have flaws. They each have flaws. Obviously, they felt Stewart had enough flaws. And as I said, I think Kyle was trading from a position of strength because he has some goaltenders in the pipeline. So so in many ways, in order to get, they also got Brett Kulak, who has not had a good season in Edmonton, but will help the blue line in Pittsburgh. I'm convinced of it as a five or a six. And you know, that from that perspective, Kyle had some money to play with in order to get a depth NHL defenseman in addition to the goaltender that will help out over the next little while. So, you know, like Tristan's under contract now his cap hit's quite large.
Yes.
When you look at it, his cap
hit. And no salary retention in this deal.
But his cap hit's 5.375. And
that's why you had to include Kulak with this.
I think that makes some sense. It'll be fascinating to see what comes out. And what will also be interesting to watch, Darren, is how much slack the fan base at Edmonton give Jarry. How much do they say, finally, we've got the goaltender we needed? There is something funny about the market, interesting about the market, because they do gravitate to their own. They do gravitate to guys like who played for the Oil Kings. There was an awareness that Jarry played in Edmonton and understands the market, and so he's got to be good. They drafted Griffin Reinhart the same way.
They got Lazar.
First round pick. They got Curtis Lazar the same way. Lazar was the captain of that team that they won the Memorial Cup with Jarry as the goaltender in London. So, this is why I'm not jumping up and down for joy for the Oilers. I'm kind of stuck in the middle. I don't know if it's the answer, but I obviously Stan thought he had to do something for the Oilers to get them on a track. And I think Kyle played with a bit of strength, knowing he has some young goaltenders he's working with already.
Got Chris Pronger coming up. One final take on this or angle. We talked to Stan Bowman in the summer, and he was comfortable with Stuart Skinner and Callum Pickard. So
he was comfortable.
Why now?
Okay, so because there is pressure. There is pressure.
They're playing better.
Yep. But there's obviously something. Remember, there's a new goalie coach there, Peter Aubrey, who has now had 30 games to work with the goaltenders. So you'd have to wonder what his input to this trade was. The one thing Stan was comfortable with was not necessarily the quality of goaltending, but how much of his cap space goaltending took up. So really the answer was, you know, for less than $5 million, the Oilers were getting good goaltending. You got what you paid for. And so that allowed Stan to use the rest of the cap space on other things. I think it got to the point now where there was, whether it was internal pressure, I think that, you know, obviously the owner would weigh in, Jeff Jackson would weigh in, Chris Knobloch would weigh in. And so from that perspective, I think Stan felt he had to do something.
The first 30 games weren't good enough in the goaltending side of it to convince them to go forward. That's what it seems to me.
Agreed. Certainly looks like it to me. And again, when you have a new goalie coach in town and, you know, and you trust your goalie coach, and let's face it, he came out of the Chicago system. Stan brought him in to Edmonton. You'd have to think that there would be something that would be mentioned at a certain point.
Oilers now must watch TV beyond just Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, which is a huge compliment to the TV ratings there.
Well, yeah, no, it's there's always something fascinating about this franchise. Mm-hmm. And it's been the same since 1979, including a guy who wore number 44 for them in 2006.
Chris Pronger's coming up. And just a note, we recorded this conversation with Chris just a couple of minutes ago. And right in the middle of our discussion, the news broke about Stuart Skinner. So we won't start on the Edmonton goaltending, but we will get there in depth. Be patient with us.
And by the way, we're going to finish the show talking about another goaltender.
Oh, who's that?
You'll have to wait and listen.
Oh, Chris Pronger is coming up on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. I can't wait.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Back with Chris Pronger, joining us on 100% Hockey. Are you rested? Are you chilled out? Because you've been busy lately. I worry about you sometimes.
Very rested. I am taking it down a notch for the next. Let's see. I did the Blues game on, Tuesday.
Yeah.
The Bruins were in town, and now, a little relaxation this weekend and back at it again on next Thursday with the Blues and the Rangers.
Wow. Can you keep this pace up?
It's a feverish pace.
The Bruins are an interesting story, given what they've been through for the last couple of years. What do you make of them right now?
I think they, first and foremost, have an identity, which most teams currently do not.
Mm-hmm. What is their identity?
They play to that identity relentlessly. They work hard. They grind. They line after line after line. They know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to chip it in. They're going to grind. They've obviously got, you think back to some of the great teams I played on, they've got grind lines. They've got a physical line with Kastelic, Corrali, and Janot. And then they've got some guys that can score. And they also have been getting contributions from their third and fourth lines. And then on the back end, they keep it simple. They play north and south. They don't try to step outside of their skill set. They don't try to do anything that might be a little out of character. When I say they stick to their identity, they're very meat and potatoes, very simple, but they never stop working. It doesn't matter if they're up 3-0 or down 3-0, they play the exact same way over and over and over. And when you can have a repeatable system like they have, and really it's just effort, hard work and effort, and they just grind on teams. They get blown out once in a while, but overall they're in every game because they work. They've gotten great goaltending, which also is a huge component of that. And then, they're getting timely goal scoring and guys are having fun because they're working hard. I think that's sometimes where things get lost in translation. It is actually fun to work hard when you have a purpose, and in this case, an identity, because you see the results.
Is it too simple to credit Marco Sturm?
No, he deserves a lot of credit because he's got them to buy in. Hmm. And I think he looked at the roster and said, okay, this is how we can win. At the end of the day, he wants to win. Any coach is like, okay, we're retooling, we're rebuilding, whatever you want to call it. They don't care. They want to win because it's their job. They want to teach these guys, A, how to play the game the right way, B, try to get the most out of their players. And you look at the skill set and you look at the types of players that they have. They've got some really talented players, but for the most part, they're not flashy. They're very north-south. They're very much in the mold of the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, not household names.
Nope.
But other than David Pastrnak.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Charlie McAvoy.
And Charlie McAvoy. There's three.
And they've got Swayman.
Yeah. But there's a lot of guys people go, oh, haven't heard a lot about him.
The fact that Morgan Geekie has doing what he's doing is, I think, probably the best example of what you describe as Boston Bruin hockey, right, Chris?
Well, it's also opportunity. You know, he got 33 goals last year. So it's not like he's a flash in the pan and all of a sudden scoring goals. He was given an opportunity and now he's taking full advantage of it. And, you know, seeing him in person the other night, like he puts himself in great positions to have the puck find him, which is nice to see. I think he's looked and watched David Pastrnak a lot while he's been there to see where he goes and where he finds the openings. And when you're able to play with great players like that, a lot of that rubs off on you.
Why is it hard to get players to buy into that kind of system or setup?
I think sometimes they haven't lost. Like a lot of those players have lost. They were there in the dog days last year. They were there the year before, and they've been there and they've seen the rise and the fall. And not many guys like the fall, and they don't like losing. So they're when you have been a part of the drop off, you don't want to be a part. You don't like that. You don't want to lose. You know, we're all competitive, and there is nothing better than winning. And so when somebody puts something in front of you and then you see the results and what that effort can provide in the way of wins and losses, and you get leadership that buys into it first and foremost, and then everybody falls in behind those guys.
So the other two teams that have separated themselves from the rest actually play in the Blues division, Colorado and Dallas. Is there one team of those two that's better than the other? Is it Colorado and then Dallas is following up? Because the records, I like that it's 2 points today, I think.
Yeah. I would say.
I think Colorado's got a lot more attention than Dallas has.
They have. I would say Colorado has, let's call it the flashier names, Makar and MacKinnon. But I think from a depth perspective and depth scoring and lines 1 through 3 and even 4 lines, I would say Dallas might be the deeper team. And from a goaltending perspective, I mean, you know, I would put my money on Ottinger, but Blackwood has been excellent. Mm-hmm. So, and even the backup goalies have been capable, and it's the way they play, and it's the speed and pace and ability to defend and transition quickly and get up on the attack. So you don't spend a ton of time in your own zone. You're able to grind on your opponent and wear them down, especially in a condensed schedule like we're in now, which we hear over and over and over again.
Which roster makeup would you like? The one with the top end talent or really good, talented, deep depth?
In a season like this one?
Yeah.
Where it is just so compressed, and then you're going to have a month off, and then it's going to be a race to the finish. I'd rather have the deeper team because you're going to need that depth, because there are going to be injuries. There are going to be players that are maybe playing at 70, 80%, 50% come playoff time, and they're just trying to survive. Mm. And you're going to need to count on that depth scoring or the depth in your roster offensively and defensively. You know, I look at the defense of the Stars. You know, they've got a couple injuries, but when you look at where Thomas Harley has taken his game, and you look at Heiskanen healthy, and you look at the players that they have back there, and then you look at Colorado, you've got Makar, Taves, you know on the top, and then there's a little bit of a drop off. And I would say that there's more of a drop off on Colorado than there is on Dallas with respect to the three pairings.
I had somebody suggest to me yesterday that, you know, Colorado was more designed for the regular season and Dallas was more designed for the playoffs. Is that too simple?
No, Colorado plays a much faster game. They play with pace, and Dallas at times can be a little plodding. They are more of a cycle team, whereas Colorado is you know, burners and want to score off the rush in transition. You look at the size of, you know, Rantanen, Robertson, you know, Jamie Benn, and, you know, Sagan's obviously done for the year. You look at the players that Dallas has, they're a little bit bigger, not as fast per se as a lot of the Avalanche players. So it just, can they withstand the grind of what they're going to go through? You know, you can be flying around during the regular season, but once, you know, especially when guys are tired right now and they're playing 3 and 4 nights, 4 and 6 nights, there's some games where there are no hitters. There's no energy left to play physical. But come playoff time, we all know what's going to happen. It's going to be a war out there, and it's going to be a battle of attrition.
And we're recording this on a Friday morning. Roope Hintz got hurt last night. So
that's going to hurt.
That, it depends how long he's out too, right? That's another factor. He blocked a shot late in the game. So
he's a big part of their team.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I do lots of work in Winnipeg. I do lots of work in Vancouver. And to me, there are two guys that are polarizing figures in those cities. Quinn Hughes in Vancouver, obviously, for everything that's gone on. And Jonathan Toews. Toews coming back has not, I'm going to try to be diplomatic, not nearly as successful as they thought it would be. It's only 30 games. Maybe that's not enough of a sample size, but that's got to be tough to come back at 37 and expect to be where you were when you were 34.
Well, and let's also realize, yes, he took 3 years off, but in the 2 or 3 years before that, he wasn't the Jonathan Toews of old either.
Right.
So you're looking at 6+ years of people are thinking back to the 2010, 2015 Stanley Cup runs, and they're forgetting about the stuff after that, where, you know, he's never been a speedster out there. He's a good skater, but he's not a great skater. And he's not, you know, he's not flashy in that sense. You know, he's a solid two-way center, great playmaker, great vision, heart and soul guy, great leader. But I'm going to say like five and a half, 6 years, prior to him quitting, he hasn't played that great. Missed a bunch of time during COVID, tried to come back on and on. I mean, it's a long layoff. I would argue that it's been longer than 3 years.
Yeah.
It's what's his challenge? Is it mentally trying to convince himself to be patient, or is it physically?
Well, I'm just going to tell you, I was done in 2012. By 2014, as I started to try to get fairly healthy, I knew I was done. But just looking at the speed of the game from 2012 to 2014, 2 years, mm-hmm. I'm looking at the game going, there's no way I could play in this. Mm-hmm. Just at 40 years old, there was just no way with my injuries and my health. There's just no way. And now to look at him, he's missed, 5 years. COVID, he didn't play. Before that, he did a bit, but he wasn't the same Jonathan Toews. And then you go walk it all the way through. We're almost into 2026. Just thinking that you're going to pick it up. And just in the span of those 5 years, when you think about the speed of the game, the way the game is played now, and you just keep walking through all of that, that's hard to throw yourself back into that mix. And whether you have the passion for it or not, it's hard to find your way again when you've been gone that long.
So when you say 2012, you knew.
Well, I knew I was done. You know, the doctor told me I was done. But you're still watching the game.
Yeah, but I know you. It's the doctor told you.
Trying to get healthy. You're trying to go through everything. I'm working on my eye. I'm working on my head. I'm working on my body. And, you know, by that point, you know, once I turned 40, I'm like, there's no way. Yeah, this is not happening.
When the doctor told you were done, you said, screw you. I'm going to play. Right?
Well, I don't know about that. I knew I was messed up and I needed to fix myself, but you always think there's a 5% chance you might find lightning in a bottle, you know? And I think that's also, he may have had unfinished business with his career in the sense that he didn't want to go out that way.
Right.
And he wanted to, you know, he needed time to collect himself. He, you know, from what I read during COVID, he had issues with his lungs and whatnot.
He had a respiratory system issue.
Yeah. And so, you know, you leave the game, you think, okay, I'm done. And then you find a will for it again. And you think, okay, I need to give this another chance. I want to try to go out on my terms.
Right.
And the optimist tells me that he just has to work through this and he'll find his rhythm. But it sounds like the reality is this could be as good as it's going to get for him.
What is his rhythm, though? Which rhythm? You know, because people are thinking back to Jonathan Toews in his 20s.
Yeah.
He's not finding that guy. That guy's gone. That's the 26-year-old, 27-year-old Jonathan Toews. This is the 37-year-old. So people are trying to recall that person and that style of play and that ability. I mean, it's Father Time is undefeated.
Is this as good as it gets then? Like where we are right now?
That I can't speak to. I mean, I haven't seen him play enough to gauge that, but I can speak to the age. Yeah. I can speak to the injuries and I can speak to, you know, that part of it. You know, he's very strong-willed. You know, for him to want to come back at 37, having that much time off, he clearly is motivated in the sense that he wanted to come back and he wanted to challenge himself and he wanted to see if he could go out on his own terms.
Yeah.
And, you know, that still remains to be seen. I mean, it has been only 30 games. And while that's a bigger sample size than maybe people want to give it, there's still a lot left to figure out. And maybe the month in February is going to be good to him and he's going to find a second wind and he'll have figured out how he needs to play in the new Jonathan Toews and the 37-year-old Jonathan Toews. And, you know, maybe he's able to, you know, come through and figure that part out. But, you know, in the current form, this game, you know, the game I saw in Buffalo with you, John, he looked slow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a step behind. You know, and part of that is in your mind, you know where to go. You just can't get there. Or the game is a little faster than it was before. And you're just that step behind. You know where to go. You want to go there, but you can't get there.
Right.
In the time frame that you think you can.
It's almost 16 years since you guys went head to head in the Stanley Cup final in 2000.
By the way, think about that.
Darren and I were there, so it's all right.
Oh, you were the
guys.
We
were going head to head as well.
Yeah.
You guys were going head to head.
The challenge, when he was in his prime, what made him so good?
I think his compete, his will to win, his determination, his knack for being in the right place at the right time, you know, his hockey IQ, you know, and a lot of the things that I'm talking about the 37-year-old Jonathan Toews are also his greatest attributes, but Father Time, as we said, gets in the way. You know, he great leader, you know, he beats to his own drummer, but in a good way. You know, he does things his own way. And I think people can appreciate that. Teammates can appreciate that. And, you know, I think his will to win is infectious. And what he's willing to do to be successful and win. You know, he's a competitor. You know, and so that's where, when you look at this current season and kind of where he's at, 30 plus games in, you know, I wouldn't count him out just because of all that. But that being said, he's 37 and the game, it's a young man's game now. You know, the days of the older player, especially at this case, coming back after such a long layoff, it is much harder to do now than it ever has been.
We'll transition from a future Hall of Famer to breaking news in the National Hockey League. Sometimes the fish just jump in the boat when you're on with Chris Pronger. We'll deal with the situation in Edmonton and its goaltending as we continue 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. So as we record this with Chris Pronger, the Oilers have acquired the goaltender, the much talked about trade for a netminder. Stuart Skinner and Tristan Jarry trading places. Brett Kulak also in this deal between the Oilers and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Was it time? Was it needed? What's your immediate reaction, Chris?
I think when you're under the gun as much as he's been, yes, he's taken them to the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years in a row, albeit on a very large roller coaster from an emotional standpoint, from a play standpoint. I feel for him. It is goaltending is, you're under the ground, as you know, pressure packed at all times, and especially in the Connor McDavid era, trying to win a Stanley Cup in Edmonton and everything that goes with it. When it's been talked about as much as it has, at some point, something has to break. And, you know, I think just they as a team, they look like they're trying to get over that hump and be more consistent. But when you start seeing the commentary from players and coaches and things of that nature, like, is it affecting your team? Is it, you know, all the question marks that we hear, at some point you just need to rip the Band-Aid off and say, okay, well, if it is, then we need to just move on. And for the player's standpoint, you know, he gets a fresh start. And from a Edmonton standpoint, you know, they bring in a goaltender who they think can calm everyone's nerves and be the guy.
So do you agree with that? Can he calm the nerves and be the guy? Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, this guy just brought you two Stanley Cup finals, which is not easy, by the way. Mm-hmm. But the narrative is getting so bad. And with every loss, the pressure mounts even more. It becomes untenable at times, I think, for the player to actually play and not have this all be a distraction. But for the player, the goalie, Skinner, mm-hmm. and then for the team, and then it becomes, you know, we look at the Pettersson-Miller thing last year. It just, from a distraction standpoint, every question, win or lose, is always going to be goaltending. They could win a game 5-1 and he gives up a bad goal, and it's like, well, can you win with your goalie? If they lose 5-1, it's like, oh my God, he sucked. You know, it's constantly about that. And so this changes the narrative. And now, there's a massive grand piano on the back of Tristan Jarry, and we'll see what happens.
And by the way, as polarizing as Stuart Skinner was in Edmonton, there were times where Tristan Jarry was just as polarizing in Pittsburgh over the last few years, particularly after he signed his big contract. Now, Kyle Dubas has gone out and he's got a couple of good young goaltenders, really good young goaltenders. So that to me is something that says, okay, if we can get from out a little bit out from the money of Tristan Jarry. They also got Brett Kulak in the trade.
Yeah.
Skinner. And they got Skinner, but they don't. Yeah. Kulak has not had a good year in Edmonton, but Kulak could be a good player for Pittsburgh.
But has been serviceable in the past and has been a good 5-6. I mean, he's a third pairing defenseman that can move the puck well. And I think he just, this year, he looked like he was really struggling.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about that he was really struggling. No doubt about that from that perspective. So it's funny. You talk about a team that has gone to the Stanley Cup Final 2 years in a row, Chris, but there's a bit of turnover in this team.
It's funny. It's funny how they lost the Game 7, they lost the Game 6 in the Stanley Cup Finals, and the world's falling apart, and it almost feels like they're bargain basement dwellers, the way the conversation around the Oilers is at times. Wow. But, by the way, that speaks to the pressure, and that speaks to the expectation and the standard that they have in the Connor McDavid era. And I would suspect, knowing he's got 2 years left after this, if they don't win, he's not going to be sticking around.
Well, and let's face it, Stan Bowman has no loyalty to any of the players that were there before him. He wasn't there when they drafted Skinner. He wasn't there when they originally signed Corey or Connor Brown or any of those guys. So he's trying to create a new team, a new philosophy in Edmonton. So you can't blame him for that.
No, 100%. No, I think one of the goals going into last summer was he wanted to get younger. They had a very old team and he wanted to get younger, and there were going to be growing pains with that. Some of the moves have panned out. Some of the younger players are slowly kind of working themselves into key roles in the team, and others have not worked out as well. And, you know, they need more time to get seasoning.
What would be your message to Tristan if he was joining your team in this situation?
My team in Edmonton or my team, period?
Or Edmonton. Like, you're in that room.
He's going to need earplugs. He's going to need very large earplugs.
Well, at least he knows the market. At least he knows the market. You know, he played junior hockey there, played for the Oil Kings, won a Memorial Cup there. So that's a long time ago, but he understands, you know, the frying pan that he's going into.
No, and I think, you know, being a goaltender, you welcome that challenge too. Like, he's leaving a place where things haven't worked out to what maybe he would have expected. And it's a chance now to go to a team with super high expectations. I know Pittsburgh has been probably better than most thought this year, but he's going to a team that expects to either be in the Stanley Cup Finals, but more importantly, win a Stanley Cup. And it will fall on his shoulders. It's not on Calvin Pickard. Mm-hmm. It is on him. Everything, the grand piano has moved from Stuart Skinner to Tristan Jarry. And, you know, we'll see how he deals with it.
Fascination for me was, I think there are a lot of people that thought, wow, if they do make a deal in Edmonton, if we could keep Skinner and get Jarry, that would be good. And so Pickard would be the odd man out. But the money just wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
The money just would not have worked in that situation. So we touched on Quinn Hughes earlier. In your time as a player, would you walk in the room and know that you were the rumor du jour about being traded? And how do you manage it?
It happened to me quite a few times, actually.
It was a rhetorical question, but I had to get you to talk.
Well,
you
know? No, I specifically remember being in Anaheim the spring before I got traded to Philadelphia, and there were a lot of rumors that I was going to be dealt at the deadline. And, you know, ultimately, I think Bob Murray was shopping just to see what the price tag was going to be, what teams were willing to pay. And then he kind of shortened the field, if you will, in the summer at the draft to ultimately make the deal. But you hear all these rumors all the time. You know, players have agents. They have friends in the league. They have friends on other teams that are talking to GMs, talking to coaches and scouts and whatnot. And, you know, guys have played with scouts, so they hear everything. And
then as we all know, the
league is very small, very tight-knit group, and everything gets around pretty quickly. So we all hear these rumors. We all hear what may or may not be sticking to the wall on any given day. But, you know,
would
I think
your teammates ask you about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and you got to remember that this is pre social media, so it was much easier to deal with it back then. It was on TV or it was in the paper. Right. It wasn't all over everybody's phone every single day, every single second. So in that regard, it was a lot easier to kind of block out the noise and the distraction. Nowadays, it's 24/7, 365 in your face, and so you have to be a little hardened to what's going on around you and really be able to block out the noise. And yeah, I think that's where the good teams really manage the conversation well, in that they're able to block out a lot of the noise. They're able to block out the different things that are going on, whether you're struggling, whether you're playing on a high note, whatever the case may be. And you're just able to kind of smooth sail it, win or lose, and just kind of flow with what's going on in front of you. And I think you know, different markets can deal with it in different ways. You know, Canadian markets are difficult in that regard. There's a passionate fan base. You know, they live and breathe and die by every win or loss. And frankly, every shift, every period. and that's why you love it. But at times, you want to be able to take a breath and recharge your batteries and not have to answer those questions every single day. And that can be the challenge. I think if you're Quinn Hughes, you know, if they're looking at maximizing the return, you're in the prime of your career. You watch him play, his metrics are incredible. You watch him, he's just, everybody gets out of their seat every time he does something along the blue line. And you're mired in losing. You're playing 30 minutes a night, killing yourself to try to will your team to win. And ultimately, you don't have a chance. And you're kind of wasting that prime on a team that doesn't know its direction. Now, you could argue that it's rudderless. It's just going left or right. You don't really know where it's going. Are they going to rebuild? Are they going to retool? Are they going to do whatever? I don't think they even know yet. Are they going to spend a bunch of money? Are they not going to spend money? Are they going to, like, what direction are they going? They've got a very mishmash roster. And your best player is up in another year. And you're kind
year
of trying
bit.
To figure.
Yeah,
year and a half. Year and a half. Year and a half.
But they couldn't even sign him today if they wanted to.
Well, they could negotiate with him. They couldn't sign him. They could start negotiating. Mm-hmm. They could come to an agreement. They just can't sign it.
Right. And if you're in
Vancouver,
if I'm Quinn, I'm not doing that. No, absolutely not. I mean, if you want to win and you're looking at what's in front of you, why would you sign there? You know, it's like McDavid in Edmonton. Everybody's like, if you think about what happened to him, he didn't sign right away. And there was a smattering of he's terrible, he sucks, he's, you know, da da da, terrible leader, I can't believe he didn't sign. I mean, all the things that we read, and all of a sudden he signs a two-year deal, and all is forgotten, and now he's a great teammate and leader again. But he's also put them on a clock, like, okay, I'm giving you 2 years. If we can't get over the hump here, my legacy is about winning a Stanley Cup. Yes, he's the best player of this generation. And if he doesn't have a cup, what does his legacy look like? So they're on the clock too. And you know, if you're Quinn Hughes and you know, you're a Norris Trophy winner or top two or three Norris Trophy nominee every single year with his talent and his abilities, and yet you barely scratch the surface in the playoffs, that starts to get frustrating.
Would you be surprised if he asked for a trade?
We all want to win, and we want to, it's not basketball. We want to do it with our teams. We don't want to all come together five stars on a team and the way they do it. We want to beat the best players, and we're all competitive. We want to do that, but you know, sometimes you have to face reality that you can't get it done in your current situation. You got to go somewhere else.
Would you be surprised if Quinn forced the issue and said, okay, let's move on here?
I don't think he has to. He's got one and a half. He's got this. He's got the rest of this year and next year. And if they don't move him, then he's gone for free.
That's the ultimate pressure.
They're
right?
on the clock. The ultimate pressure is they're on the clock.
Yeah.
They're not getting better. You know, they've got a ton of injuries, but they're not getting better. They had a circus around the whole situation last year. And you're sitting there going, okay, what are we doing here? And, you know, right now they hold the cards because they can move them and figure out the best return. Because I don't think he's going to resign, because what is he resigning to? What do they have? How are they going to get better? And, he's not the GM and he's not the president. He's not the owner, but he does get a say in a year and a half that I'm going to sign or I'm not going to sign. And, you know, that's what they have to deal with. And maybe they're able to make some moves or do some things that entice him to want to stay. But under the current circumstances, know, I think the writing's on the wall.
Well, the best assets the Canucks can get are from a Quinn Hughes trade.
Yeah. Yeah, the way that they get better is they have to move him. So. Better in the long term, not the short term.
Right. Right.
Can't believe I've got this far into the conversation without thinking that wallpaper behind you reminds me of one of those ink blot.
Rorschach test.
What am I looking at?
Don't stare too closely.
Hey, you're looking forward to, we talked about this before, the Olympic announcements?
I am. It is... it is interesting. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of ways to look at it. There's players that maybe have played their way off, and players that you're questioning, how do they keep them off?
Would you go young? And do you think they'll go young?
I would go...
or I'm talking Canada here.
Yeah. I would, you need experience in these teams. You need experience, but you also need players to give you the best chance to win. And, you know, we looked at the Four Nations last year. There was a lot of question marks on a lot of players that they took. Yes, they still won, but some of those players didn't, live up to advanced billing, let's say. And so I think there are some holes and some opportunities there that, that I think players will fill in. I think, you know, Tom Wilson is one that they've probably sorely missed in the Four Nations.
At least for the first 9 seconds against the Americans.
Well, yeah, but I think just in general as a physical forechecker, penalty killer, five on five, you know, I don't think people give him enough credit for his skill set and his ability to score goals and create havoc and open up the ice for his line mates.
Right.
You know, you've got the kids celebrating Bedard and, you know, what spots are there for them? You know, on and on and on. There's a lot of ways we can dice it.
Before I let you go, I chatted with Rick Tocchet the other day about this because Columbus had called a timeout on the weekend and they were playing Florida and it was in overtime and they were all huddled around the whiteboard and Brad Marchand just started skating around closer to the Columbus timeout, like peeking over shoulders, basically trolling them. If you're in that huddle for a timeout in overtime and Brad Marchand starts skating near your timeout huddle, what do you do?
Maybe probably spray him with some water.
Oh, that's a fine.
That's okay. It's a fine.
If you hit him with your stick, it's a 2-minute penalty, but if you spray him with water, it's a fine.
Yeah. Yeah, well, then maybe I'll just go sit on their bench and say hi.
You would actually do that. I could see that happening.
Well, you know, check in with everybody. Make sure everybody's doing well.
And, you know, listen, this is the guy that used to go collect pucks and piss everybody off. Let's remember that, okay?
Yes.
Just trying to aggravate people.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It works.
That it does. And they're still mad about it, which is crazy. 15 years later.
Thanks, Prongs. Be safe. Be well. Be relaxed.
All right, gentlemen. Chill. Thank you.
Be rested. Everybody. Please be rested.
I will be very rested. Thank you.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen. And he scores! Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
I have to admit, I didn't expect to be talking Tristan Jarry as the goaltender of focus today. I thought it was going to come from a little further east.
Jacob Fowler.
Yes.
So, you know, we had Jeff Gorton on last week, and we asked him about, you know, their goaltending, and he was, He was protective of his goaltending, but you knew something was up when Dobish played back-to-back on Saturday, Sunday against the Maple Leafs and the Blues, and then Samuel Montembeau was absolutely horrendous on Tuesday night. So I was thinking, I actually did go and check the bio. Jacob Fowler, first game, great story, another American goaltender.
A Florida kid, another Florida guy.
But I'm just saying, can we share the wealth of goaltenders? You know, we're going to be talking about goaltending for Canada at the Olympics. And, you know, the debate's going to be after Binnington, who's going to be there. And now we're just going to add another name. I'm not suggesting Fowler's on the name for the Olympics, but another name potentially of an American goaltender that could be a factor for an NHL team for years to come. Jacob Fowler.
I loved his mom's reaction to the rookie lap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, listen, it was beautiful.
It's a fascinating story, too, when you consider the knowledge of the fan base in Montreal. And we've talked about that countless times, Darren. The knowledge of the fan base to say, we need Fowler here because something wasn't working. And in the end, I'm not suggesting that Kent and Jeff and Marty acquiesced to the fan base, but they saw something that needed to be changed. And because you can't afford to go on a terrible swoon right now in the Eastern Conference, particularly with everything so compressed.
Well, they're still right there with bad goaltending.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then what you say is, imagine if we had had decent goaltending over that period of time, they would be leading the Atlantic Division. They would be leading the Atlantic Division.
And does Fowler buy them some time to be able to get Sam Montembeau game back in order, much like what the Pittsburgh Penguins did with Tristan Jarry over the last few years? They took a step back with Tristan to get his game fine-tuned and rebuilt and then into a good place. And well, now it's brought a return of Stuart Skinner, Brett Kulak, a second and a third. Pittsburgh did pretty good in that trade.
Well, again, I think that Kyle was negotiating from a place of strength.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do the deal.
Jordan Binnington in this situation, and I don't know whether he was asked to go to Edmonton or not. I don't know the inner workings of that, but I wonder what this does to his game and his psyche, knowing that he's not going to be rumored out there to be on the move.
Well, I think that, Doug Armstrong probably would have been transparent with Jordan from the beginning. I think Alex Steen was probably transparent with Jordan Binnington from the beginning. Do you think that the plight of the Blues was weighing on Binnington more than what's going on and the pressure of playing for Canada? I mean, that's a fascinating analysis to me of... We were talking more about Binnington and Canada over the last 2 months than we were Binnington and the Blues.
That's accurate.
Yeah. So get through the Olympics, and then let's talk about Binnington again at the trade deadline. If somebody needs a goaltender. Remember, the deadline's after.
Leave you with this question. Are the Edmonton Oilers better today than they were last night when Stuart Skinner helped them beat the Detroit Red Wings?
By the way, Jake Walman's on long-term IR too. So the moment they traded Kulak, you're wondering who's going to fill the void on the blue line. Regula and Emberson are there. Who's going to be that sixth defenseman? And also, remember that they put Troy Stetcher on waivers 2 weeks ago and lost him to the Maple Leafs. So there, what's happening on the blue line for the Oilers too, now that one of their six defensemen has disappeared?
Are the Oilers better today with Tristan Jarry than they were last night when Stuart Skinner beat the Detroit Red Wings? Sorry, I apologize because obviously my mic wasn't working properly there when I asked the question the first time.
I think they're exactly the same. I don't think they're better. I don't think they're worse.
I think the opportunity to be better is there. I would agree with you that it's more of a wash, but the noise around Skinner is quieted, and you've got an opportunity for a great start. Now, Jarry has to seize that. There's so much pressure on him.
As I said,
be good now.
If you say the noise is, you know, was bad around Skinner, wait 2 weeks. See what the noise is like for Jarry.
Right, and that depends on the performance right now. There's no scar tissue there now, but it won't take long for a cut to appear.
Agreed.
What a way to end the week, buddy.
Hey, every week's like this on 100% Hockey.
Have you done it? Did you do it to anybody? Were you at Home Depot and somebody said, hey, 100%. And then I go over from lighting, hockey.
No, but I yell at the TV every time when somebody says 100% hockey. And my dog looks at me like they think that's his new name. So
I know what we'll be talking about on Monday. On 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.